What does it mean to be a disciple? Hi, I'm Jordan Sullivan, the minister of music here at Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama, and we're in a series looking at how we can be committed disciples of Jesus Christ by following His Great Commission together as a church family. Our prayer is that in this season you will find greater communion with God, greater community with your fellow disciples, and greater commitment to Jesus' Great Commission. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to day 27 of A Disciple of Christ, A Season of Commitment. Today's devotion is titled, Living Without Fear. The great Charles Spurgeon once said, "There is no cure for the fear of man like the fear of God." Our text for today is from Matthew chapter 10, verses 26 through 33. "So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, that cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. Therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." Having foretold of persecution and suffering that would come to his disciples, Jesus exhorts them not to fear the world. In Matthew 10, 26 through 31, Christ calls his disciples not to fear three times. First, the disciples are not to fear people. That's in verse 26. "Because the day is coming when everything hidden will be revealed." Robert Mounts writes, "The secret plans will be known to all. As far as the disciples' ministry is concerned, that time is now. What Jesus has told them in comparative privacy, they are to proclaim publicly. Those things they have learned in personal conversation must now be announced to the whole world." That is why Jesus told his disciples to proclaim on the housetops what he told them privately. In that day, roofs served as platforms for important public declarations. It would take courage to proclaim the gospel of Jesus in public. Second, the disciples were not to fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. That's verse 28. Rather, they were to fear God. Mounts again provides insight. In context, the soul is a person's true self. Opponents may put the messengers of God to death, but they are unable to separate them from the source of true life. As one scholar writes, "Paralyzing fear should not be an ingredient of Christian ministry. Only God can kill the soul. If there is to be fear, let it be fear of God." Jesus follows this second section on living without fear with a reason to trust Him. That's in verse 29 and 30. God cares deeply for those who follow Him. God knows every hair on your head. Thus, He also knows the details of your struggles. Since He cares for the least expensive thing sold in the market, a sparrow, He has greater concern for those who are suffering for his sake. Jesus concludes this comparison with a third challenge not to be afraid in verse 31. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Rather than fear the world, we should live with a reverent fear of Jesus. If we acknowledge him before men, Scripture states that Jesus will acknowledge us before his Father. That's verse 32. Yet if we deny him by failing to confess him publicly, verse 33 says he will deny us before the Father. Mounts states, as the final judgment, Jesus will speak for or against a person based on whether that person has been a fearless advocate or a silent witness. One's involvement in spreading the message of the kingdom has eternal consequences. This truth should be our greatest fear, that we would remain silent when it comes to our faith and then later face Jesus, the one we denied. Yet, if we boldly live for Jesus, we can look ahead with confidence. That is why Jesus gives the good news in verse 32 before the warning in verse 33. May R.C. Sproul's words encourage you to live without fear in light of what lies ahead. This is glorious news. Imagine that you are in heaven. The books are open. The trial is set to begin, and you are standing there in fear. Everything you've ever done in secret is about to be made manifest. Your record will surely condemn you. Then suddenly Jesus comes and says, Father, this one is mine. Can you imagine Christ confessing you before the Father? That is what he promised to do for all who confess him before men. Some questions to consider. Are there any areas of your walk with the Lord that you may be denying him? In what ways are you currently professing Christ? How does Jesus' love for you compare to his concern for sparrows encourage you to stand up for him? And finally, either you will live in fear of men or in reverent fear of God. In what ways do Jesus' words found in Matthew 10, 26 through 33 make that decision a no-brainer? Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.